Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
So we're diving in today to 1 John chapter 4. Let's pray in. Dear God, thank you for another day we get to come before you. God, thank you for your word that reminds us day in and day out of your love for us. I pray, God, in this time that I would decrease and you would increase. Let your Holy Spirit come and open our eyes and ears, hearts and minds to more of you, more of your presence, more of your grace, more of your truth, more of your love. Not just for ourselves, but so we can overflow. Be filled to overflowing for those around us who need you today through us. I ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. So we are diving in, like I said, to 1 John chapter 4. So previously on Soap, you know, we've been journeying through this Advent season together, right? And we're reading and learning more about the hope, the peace, and the love of God throughout the season. How all these different chapters we're reading about, hope, peace, and love, all point to Jesus's birth as the fulfillment of that promise, right? The fulfillment of God's hope, peace, and love incarnate here on earth with us. Emmanuel, God with us in his peace, his hope, and his love. Since we're diving in today, 1 John chapter 4, I'll be reading out of the NIV version. This portion is entitled On Denying the Incarnation. Verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world, and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. This next portion here is entitled God's Love and Ours. Verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There is no fear in love, But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. We love because he first. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. Amen to God's word. All right, so diving in here. Lots of love this morning, right? So back to the very beginning. We said this first portion is entitled On Denying the Incarnation in the NIV version. And so this letter, this whole letter of Saint John, of the Apostle John, is to a group of believers who are struggling in their faith. So at this time, this group of believers have lost their faith in Jesus as the Messiah. They were not believing that he could come in the flesh, because back then the Greeks believed that the flesh was evil and the spirit was pure. And so you couldn't have both the flesh and the spirit together. And so had fallen back into their old ways of thinking, those old thought patterns, right? Influenced by the culture around them. And so they were having trouble believing that Jesus could be so pure and yet come in the evilness they believed of human flesh. And so they thought he was not either, he came in the body, but he wasn't a real human. He was just God in a body, but not really in the flesh. And because of how they were falling away in their faith, they also fell into immorality and they failed to show genuine love for one another. As you go back through the first couple chapters, you can see more of John kind of speaking to some of these issues within this group of believers. And yet, despite all these issues they were going through, they still claim to know and follow God. And we see this even now today, right? When people, their words and their actions don't line up. Right? And that's what John's really addressing here in this chapter. I love in the Message version, this portion in the beginning is entitled, Don't Believe Everything You Hear. In the Amplified version, it starts off by saying, Beloved, do not believe every spirit speaking through a self-proclaimed prophet. That's really key to note, right? What's someone speaking, right? And being really attentive to the words and to the actions and to the motivation behind things we hear, right? And it says a self-proclaimed prophet, you know, but it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be just a prophet, right? We think of prophets in a spiritual sense, you know, anyone who claims to be from God is a prophet, right? Anyone who says, oh, God told me this, God says this, you know, this is why I believe, this is what the Bible says. If someone's speaking like on behalf of God, or saying they have revelation from God, that's when it's really key here to, like it says, test the spirit, test that motivation, and really ask, is what that person is speaking coming from the Holy Spirit and from God's word, or is it coming from themselves, right? And then sometimes ourselves, we can fall into that too. If we think we hear a voice from God, or we hear, a, we feel, a, have a feeling or an intuition, and we question that if that's the Holy Spirit. Right? It says, you know, test the spirits. But as Pastor Brennan likes to say, he talks about checking the roots and checking the fruits, right? Being a fruit inspector. And really, you know, seeing how the person or even the spirit we're hearing or something we think we're feeling or believing, is that person or is that feeling, right? Is it coming from ourselves, so coming from the world or coming from the Holy Spirit. So that person, as we're checking the root or checking the fruit of a person who's a self-proclaimed prophet or someone who says, oh, God told me, you know, is that person living in the spirit or are they living in the world? Do their lives bear love, joy, and peace that comes from the Holy Spirit? Or is this person rooted in Jesus or in the world? Are they living biblically and with fear of God or living by their own rules, their own beliefs, their own selfishness and pride, right? And that's why having a wise mentor or a spiritual guide or someone you can trust with good roots who shows good fruit in their Christian walk is so crucial. Have people like that to help you test the spirits, to help you when you're going through a situation, when you're going through a challenge, when you're not sure what the next step is, you know? Having someone you can trust, who, like I said, has good roots and good fruits, to come to and say, "Hey, I'm really struggling with this. Can you help?" Or, "Hey, I feel this. I think I heard this from God. I think someone told me this. You know, I need some confirmation." Because God's so good, scripture will confirm scripture. God confirms himself. He cannot deny himself, right? So if you hear something or feel something or are told something that quote unquote is from God, but goes against God's word, guess what? It's not gonna be from God. God cannot deny himself. God's not gonna lead you to do anything contrary to himself, to his word, right? And that's why, again, us ourselves knowing scripture, knowing God's word, knowing the character and the nature and who God is the first step to knowing how we can fight against these things. Not just if, but when they come up in our spiritual walk, right? John goes on to talk about then the Antichrist, right? How every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. In verse 3, this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. See, so yeah, the Antichrist at the end times will be a person, right? Talks about someone who will come, a ruler, a figure in culture and society, right? Will be the embodiment of the Antichrist. But until that time comes, we know that the, like he says, the spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit is still around. Because we, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and principalities of the dark world. As John says, what you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. So if it was already in the world, you know, when John's writing this almost 2,000 years ago, guess what? That spirit hasn't gone away since then, right? That spirit is still here. And he's looking to cause division, cause offense, cause bitterness, cause hurt amongst people in general, but especially against God's people, especially against this church, right? And this is all the more reason we need to be prayerfully aware of the world around us and be prayerfully cognizant of those we allow to influence us and speak into our lives, right? What is the spirit by which they live and speak and abide in, right? But verse 4 gives us hope in the midst of all this, right? In the midst of this person and this spirit's coming against Jesus, being a false Jesus, a false prophecy, right? And yet in verse 4, we have hope. It says, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." So even when we feel and we see and we hear so much evil and injustice and division going on in the world and in the church, all things that the Antichrist is seeking to do, right? We can still have hope in remembering the one who is in us. Who is that one? It's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, it reminds us, this is Paul speaking. Paul says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." That spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, lives within us as Christ followers, right? When you accept Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, right? And so that's Holy Spirit, the same spirit that already raised Jesus from the grave, already overcame hell. So that spirit that overcame hell and death and the grave did it once before. He can and will do it again in us, through us, with us. Amen. So our first application question today, this first portion of scripture is, what roots and what fruits do you need to check today? Is it someone around you? Is it someone you follow on social media or in the news? Maybe it's your own. Ask the Holy Spirit to give revelation so he can be the spirit that fully guides your life. Don't allow anyone or anything to influence you more than the Holy Spirit, the spirit that overcame hell and the grave, and that raised Jesus from the dead. Let him be the spirit to guide your life. Amen. This next portion here, starting in verse 7, is entitled God's Love and Ours. Whew, already convicting, right? So it says, Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And the love it talks here in the Greek is agape love, the love of God. It's this concept of a self-giving love, a love that gives without demands, without strings attached, without expecting any kind of repayment. It's a love that, to be honest, we as humans don't often, if ever, really share with one another, right? A self-giving love that has no demands, no strings attached, no expectations, right? It's a kind of love that only God can give. It's an unconditional love. It's a love that can't be bought, can't be won, can't be influenced over, right? And we as humans, we know our kind of love. We feel and experience our own love. But the agape love of God is something beyond what we can ever feel on the side of heaven, right? And in the Greek, this sentence actually begins with agapeto, agapeto, here we go, agapetoi, agapemen, which means those who are loved, let us love. Agapetoi, agapemen, those who are loved, let us love. It's an identifier, right? Identifying those who are loved, that's us, then put into action, let us love. Your identity of being loved as someone who is loved is seen by your action, by loving others. And beginning in verse 7 too, it talks about how everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. And in the Greek, this version of a couple different versions of the word know, right? Know, know. So in the Greek, for this specific version is called ginosko. It's the word for knowledge by experience. Ginosko, knowledge by experience. And so John is saying here that when we really experience the true love of God, it will show by our actions and our love for one another. That we can't really truly grow in our experience of God and of truly knowing God, but also, as a result, growing in love for one another, right? And here in verse 9, it sums up the entire Advent season, right? The reason we celebrate Christmas is here in 1 John 4:9. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might love, that we might live through him. And he sent his one and only Son. God's love is so good, he only had to show it once. He didn't have to show us again and again. He didn't have to, he only has one and only Son. Because God's love is so perfect, when he shows his love, it's that perfect one and only love of his one and only Son. And when Jesus came at Christmas, he has a God's love incarnate, God's love in the flesh. Not just a feeling, not just an experience, but Emmanuel, God with us, God's love with us. Because he knew, God knew, that we couldn't love on our own. And so we need to have his Son come as a physical example for us to follow, right? It's one thing to talk about love, one thing to theorize about love, one thing to, go on whole into theological debates about love and all these different things. But God said, no. I will show you. I will show you by example. So you will see love in the flesh. You will see love put to action. And that's why, again, God's word, the entire Bible, is so crucial. And especially the New Testament, talking about Jesus, because Jesus is living out, is documented examples and documented accounts of what love looks like, of what it looks like to have the example of love for us to follow as Christ followers, right? I love too how John writes that because of that love, We ought to love one another because we need each other for his love to be made complete in us. The love of Jesus, love of God, is here to be made complete in us, but that can't happen without each other, without loving each other, without having community with each other. And let's be honest though, putting that love to action is hard, right? Love isn't a feeling, it's an action. So how do we do it? How do we put that action out there? How do we put that experience of God's love into action? Especially when we, as humans, struggle with our own love, whether it's loving others who are difficult, loving ourselves who are difficult sometimes. How do we put that love into action? Ephesians 3 actually gives us a great support for this. Ephesians 3, beginning verse 16, it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. His Holy Spirit will come and strengthen us with his power in our inner being, so the love of Christ may dwell in us, so we can be rooted and established in love, so we can grasp even just a fraction of the width and the length and the height and the depth of the love of Christ. So there's a fraction of that will change how we live. Just a fraction of the full measure of God's love will influence us to love others and naturally lead us and guide us to love others. And I love that the terminology, right? Being rooted and established in love. So when you think of a large tree or a big plant, when something has deep roots and not only allows it to withstand the winds of bitterness or of hurt or of offense or betrayal in the face of love, but deep roots also allows a tree or us to bear good fruit, right? Like the first portion of this chapter talks about, you can tell a false prophet or a false spirit by their lack of love, right? The spirit of God is love, and someone's not living a life of love or speaking words of love, well, that's false prophecy then. And so, again, that's why this whole chapter wraps up and talks about love, because false prophecy isn't in love, and love gives us the wisdom and the Holy Spirit leading to recognize false prophecy, right? It was in reading this too and studying this, thinking back a few weeks ago, and Pastor Brent spoke about 1 Corinthians 13, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, 7, it says, love bears all things. And so I'm here writing my notes, thinking about being deeply rooted, right? And how being deeply rooted allows us to bear good fruit. The 1 Corinthians 13, 7 verse came up, the love bears all things. A reminder that bearing good fruit comes from being rooted in love. Love bears all things. Love bears patience in our lives. Love bears kindness in our lives. Love bears gentleness. Love bears grace. Love bears peace and hope and joy. All from being rooted in love is how we bear good fruits of the Holy Spirit, right? And I was thinking, you know, it's always Christmas time. So I was thinking about the very first year after Bruce and I got married, our very first Christmas together, we wanted to do a little tradition. And so we actually got our Christmas tree, a real Christmas tree, dug. So we went to a tree farm and they did this little process where they actually took a Christmas tree we picked and they dug around it and dug deep into it to pull it up from the roots. And so we got this tree dug and this giant pile, like mound of dirt at the bottom of it, right? And they tied it all up and they dug up the roots, right, of this tree. And so we put it in the house. We had the whole, you know, bulb at the bottom of all the roots and everything, because we wanted to, after Christmas, we wanted to replant it outside in our yard to celebrate, our first Christmas together in the house, our first married Christmas, everything. So we got this giant tree dug, brought inside the house. The roots were all in the bag. We watered it, we took care of it, did the whole thing, and it lasted for a few weeks because it's for Christmas, right? And then we put decorations on it, and it was just really beautiful, Again, healthy roots, healthy tree, healthy bearing, right? Could bear the ornaments and bear the lights, bring beauty and, have a light that's shone in the house for joy and for peace and for love, right? But then, of course, Christmas ended, the season's over. And so we try to figure out how to take this tree, but the process was to bring the tree out of the house now and plant it in the backyard. And long story short, it didn't work. It's very specific, process with the transitioning from the warm inside the house to the cold outside, and right measure of how to dig the hole, put the tree in. It's a whole process, right? Which Bruce and I were not prepared for digging up a tree. And so because of we weren't prepared, we weren't able to properly care for the tree, the roots died and the tree died. And so even though we tried planting this tree and it looked nice when we planted it, it didn't last, right? So it didn't have deep roots it needed. It didn't have healthy soil. It wasn't properly cared for, right? And the same goes for us. If we don't know how to properly care for our roots, we'll never be able to love others. We don't have to properly care for our roots, that light that God wants to shine through us, that beauty, the good fruit He wants to bear in our lives, won't be able to sustain it without healthy roots. That love He's calling us to do, He can't, it won't happen. We can't grow anything we don't have, right? And that's why receiving the love of God first needs to be our priority in order to give the love of God to others. We can't give what we don't have, right? Again, Pastor Brent's been talking about the last few weeks and months, we talked about it in some of our connect groups recently. Silence and solitude. Just having silence with God, meditating on God's word. Maybe it's worship music. Maybe it's going somewhere or doing something that allows you to open your heart and your mind more to clearly hear God and to clearly feel his presence. Whatever you need to do today to receive the love of God first, please take time to do it. Especially as we're starting off a new week, as we're going into the season of Christmas, when there's so much else going on. Doing what we have to do to receive God's love. Again, each person's going to be a little bit different. But whatever you need to do to receive God's love in your life, I implore you, please do it. It will change you. And then it will help you change how you relate to others. The more we receive of God's love, the more we get filled up. We talked about with Pastor Brent yesterday, right? God fills us not to the top, but to overflow, right? When God fills us up and our love tank up, we can overflow his love to others. So our second application question is, what do I need to do today to receive more of God's love? So I can overflow his love to others. Amen. Our last portion here, starting off in verse 13, says, "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us of his spirit." That's what we just talked about, right? That from the Holy Spirit to guide us and bear good fruit in our lives comes from being rooted in God. And that's how people can tell we live in God. We know God, not just know. Oh yeah, I read the book, or oh no, I know him from church. I know him from the pastor. No, that gnosko, that experiential knowing of God's love, comes from his spirit and by coming to spend time with God, right? And the reality is, the more we spend time receiving the love of God, the more we will know and recognize when we don't have the feeling of God, right? When we know what it feels like to receive God's love, we'll know when we have it and when we don't have it. If we're running on empty, if we're feeling irritable, if we're feeling anxious, if we're losing our patience with our kids or our spouse or our coworker or a friend, those are the moments we realize, hey, my love tank from God is running out on empty. Hey, I'm not there yet, God. Hey, I'm out of your love. I'm out of your presence. I'm out of connection and communion with you, right? Then what can we do? Verse 16 tells us. Verse 16 says that we rely on the love God has for us. When we can't feel it for ourselves, we don't want to just fake it till we make it, right? You don't want to fake it with God. You don't want to fake it with somebody else. You come back to God. You rely on the love God has for us, the love God has for you. Come back to Him for that refilling, and that will help you. As people overflow that love to other people, then, right? I love in the Amplified Version, verse 16, it says, "We have come to know by personal observation and experience, and have believed with deep, consistent faith, the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who loves, the one who abides in love, abides in God, and God abides continually in him. Whoever lives in love lives in God." Again, the Amplified Version says abides, right? When you live in or you abide somewhere, it takes consistency, it takes intentionality, it takes selflessness, right? It takes obedience and that spending of time in or with somewhere or someone, right? To get to know them. If you have a spouse or a really close family member or a really close friend, you abide with them, you spend time with them. Maybe you live with them, right? That's how you get to know someone on a human sense. How much more should be for God on a spiritual sense, abiding with God, living with God, living in His presence, right? And that's how it says in the NIV that how love is made complete among us, right? This is how love is made complete among us, so we'll have confidence in the day of judgment. In verse 17 in the New Living Translation, it says, "As we live in God, our love grows more perfect." That's beautiful, right? God's not asking us to be perfect. He's asking us to live in Him and grow more perfect. Not reaching perfection, but more perfect on this side of heaven. We'll reach perfection on the other side of heaven in God's perfect presence, perfect love. But here, we're called to just grow. Grow more as we live in Him. In verse 17, like I said, it speaks about to have confidence on the day of judgment, right? Because on the day of judgment, we will be judged not on our church attendance, not judged on how much money we gave, not judged on how many hours of cleaning around the church we did, or how many messages or Bible verses we memorized, right? Will we judge on how we loved God and prove that we know Jesus through loving others? And Jesus himself even speaks about this in Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. He says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, who will sit on his glorious throne, all the nations will be gathered before him. He will separate the people from one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. The righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when do we see you?'" He talks about the sheep, the ones on his right, that come in and enjoy glory because you saw me hungry and you fed me. You saw me thirsty and gave me something to drink, right? And the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When do we see you sick or in prison and go visit you?" All these actions, right? Love put into action. The king will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Goes on then to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are accursed, because they didn't do those things. They didn't feed the hungry, they didn't give drink to the thirsty." He will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." The measure of love is how God will judge. The measure of not just how we love God, but proving that love of God through our actions and loving others. This is the importance of personal, intimate, healthy relationship with God in order to have a personal, healthy, intimate relationship with others, and vice versa, right? In our one of our connect groups, emotionally healthy spirituality, emotionally healthy relationships, Pete Scazzera writes about how we need to make love the measure of our maturity as disciples. Make love the measure of what it means to be healthy spiritually, be healthy in relationships, right? It's not about, memorizing legalism and memorizing traditions and all this stuff, right? It's about how we put that love for others into action shows where we are in our discipleship journey. And so our third application question as we close out is, how can I make love more complete in me today by loving someone else? Hey, I would be remiss to remind people this week, December 9th through 15th, is our Love Week with Outreach. I said over 10 things we have going on this week, all week long, of Christmas outreaches, whether it's homeless, we're helping with homeless, we're doing special outreaches for teens in foster care, for single moms, for families in need. All kinds of things are going on, right? We're trying to find how we, as Christ followers, can show the love of Jesus and make his love more complete in us as individuals and as a church family. Make his love complete in us by loving on others, right? And so if you're not already signed up, get signed up for Love Week. Be a part of all God's doing in our communities, through our communities, and through our church throughout South Jersey this Christmas season with us. Amen. So as we close out here, question one, what roots and what fruits do you need to check today? Is this someone around you, someone who you follow on social media or in the news, or is it your own, maybe? Ask the Holy Spirit to give you revelation so he can be the spirit that fully guides your life. Question number two, what do I need to do today to receive more of God's love so I can overflow his love to others? And question three, how can make his love more complete in me by loving on someone else today or this week through Love Week? Amen. Let's pray out. Oh, dear God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your love, Jesus. I thank you for that, for this Advent season. We get to be reminded, Lord, of your great love, of the great gift of your one and only Son. I pray, Lord, the words of Paul in Ephesians 3, I pray that of his glorious riches, you may strengthen us with your power through your Holy Spirit in our inner beings, so that you, Jesus, may dwell in our hearts through faith. I pray, Lord, that we would be rooted and established in love today, that we may have power together with all of your holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is your love, Jesus, for us, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the full measure of your glory, Jesus, and the full measure to share with others so they will come to know you, come to see you, come to experience more of you through us today. Asking prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Love you guys. We'll see you soon. Hope to see you this week for Love Week. Take care. Bye.